You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor At Bosif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, if you believe in the faithfulness of God, jump out of your seat wherever you are and give Him the biggest praise that you can. Welcome to all our hundreds of thousands of viewers on TBN, TBN Yet To, One Gospel. So great to have you with us all over Africa, all over South Africa, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, CLC Online, radio stations, those in correctional facilities, only over 20 correctional facilities with us this morning. Come on, give those people a big shout out all over South Africa and some countries in Africa. And then, of course, all over Russia, Israel, America, Europe, India, China, and Africa. Hallelujah. God bless you. Welcome this morning. Take your seat in heavenly places, wherever you are. And as you do say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. An important announcement before I get into the message this morning, please. Wednesday night, interfaith leaders are meeting with the president, and we are talking, as we have had our campaign. We are going to the Constitutional Court. That is, case is being filed, but we are talking to our president on Wednesday evening, 40 leaders. So I pray that you pray for a spirit of boldness upon those religious leaders in the name of Jesus. And please don't sit here and try and spy out our liberty. We are here to see the safe reopening of our churches, and to hell with the devil, and let the church of Jesus arise. Come on, Easter is coming, and we're not having another lockdown on an Easter Friday and an Easter Sunday. We want to be in our churches. We want to be free to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, shout amen. If you're a Christian and you love Jesus, give Him one more praise offering in this place. Hallelujah. Ah, good things ahead of you. 2021 will be a year of divine restoration. Our passage this morning, Mark chapter 5, and we read from verse 21 to 24, and then verse 35 to 42. And when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him. A great multitude. I wonder what Jesus would have done in this lockdown. His church would not be shut down. Okay, I'll just throw it in there too. Don't miss tonight. Okay, yes, I am controversial on purpose because somebody has to say the truth. Okay. It's a year that we've been in lockdown as a church. It's enough. Thank you for the one amen out there, okay? And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, place of worship, place of surrender, and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter, my business, my marriage, my finances lies at the point of death. This COVID has wreaked havoc in many people's lives. And I want to tell you that the time has come where we are breaking this yoke of this COVID devil over God's people and over God's church." Can I have an amen? And we are going to see great and divine restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Says, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Say it this morning. Say, "I will live and I will not die." Whatever that represents in your life. And Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Notice that there was not a religious debate. Notice that Jesus immediately was attracted to the need. I want to tell you this morning as we start that God loves you and God wants to help you. That God wants to lead you through your valley. That God is not behind your tragedy and your disaster. God is the one who will bring divine restoration, healing, and deliverance in your life. If you believe it, say amen. Oh, come on. Somebody in heavenly places this morning, and give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. So verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. It's over. It's finished. The economy, your business, you lost your job. You've been diagnosed with a serious disease. Why trouble the teacher any further? because our teacher is alive. Our teacher is a miracle worker. Our teacher is the one of impossibilities. Our teacher is the one who can get Lazarus out of the grave even though Lazarus is stinking. Our teacher is one of miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, come on. I want to teach this morning, but I feel a bridge coming up in my spirit. If you need God to do something in your life, then jump to your feet and give Him a bit of a praise offering this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As soon as Jesus heard these words spoken, He said to the ruler of the synagogue, now listen, that's where we're going to talk. Do not be afraid, only believe. It doesn't matter what the scientists say, it doesn't matter what the politicians say, it doesn't matter what the naysayers say, it doesn't matter what the economy says. Fear not, only believe. I know your reality may be very real, as this was to Jairus. His little girl died. Imagine the emotions. Imagine that initial panic when he hears your little girl is just dead. And Jesus immediately intervenes with the words, fear not, only believe. Choice. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed in the city. Seen a lot of that on Zoom meetings, how hopeless people are. How many people believe we just sit in a corner and have to wait until this virus passes by? And what happens if this virus chooses not to pass by? We have to learn to live with it and defeat it by power in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? We are not going to allow this to control our destinies and our future and our nation and our churches. Oh, come on, some sanctified church, Christian. Shout amen in Jesus' name. When he had come, he said, why do you make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. So what is Jesus doing? He's applying the law of faith that we are called to live by. He calls what is not as though it is. You know, when you talk about your mountain, your problem, it will grow. When you talk to your mountain, it will go. We have to be very cautious about what is coming out of our mouths at this time. Fact, the little girl was dead. Truth, Jesus was present, so there was hope. Resurrection and life was in the very presence of death. And I want to say to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, if you are facing a disaster this morning, then the deliverer is present. If you're in a fire this morning, then the deliverer is present in Jesus' name. If you're going through a storm, the calmer of the storm is present this morning. Oh, come on, in Jesus' name. There's no mountain too high, there's no valley too deep that He cannot lead you through. He still is the resurrection and the life, and that is why on Easter morning, I believe that God is going to do great things in many of your lives. We're not going to roll over. The stone has been rolled away. This COVID stone is going to be rolled away, and God's people are going to come forth triumphantly, and the name of Jesus will be exalted. Oh, come on. I feel a spirit of praise in this place. If you've not been in a church, jump out of your seat this morning and give the Lord a praise in your home. Make your neighbor mad. Do a little bit of noise pollution and give Jesus a celebration of praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the ridiculum. And then Jesus puts out the unbelief and He takes the little girl by the hand and He says, Talita kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, come alive. Them dead bones are coming alive. Them dead bones, them dead emotions, them dead finances, them dead businesses, them dead situations, them dead marriages, them dead wombs. Okay, not great English. But they're going to come alive, not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Ghost and by the mighty presence of the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Immediately the little girl arose and walked, for she was about 12 years of age. I want to say it this morning, that dead things are going to come alive. That barren things will be fruitful. The things you lost will be restored. It's March, you may still feel that you're in a hopeless situation, but I want to tell you this morning that things are about to change, because Jesus will not leave you, and he will not abandon you, and he will not forsake you. You've got to keep your eyes on him, and you've got to keep on walking the walk of faith and refuse to allow fear to get the better of you. Can I have an amen this morning? So our message this morning is very simply is only believe. In Mark chapter 5, 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. You know, fear is a terrible thing. Fear will paralyze your attitude, your aptitude, your expectation, your hope, your faith more than anything else. Fear is not your friend. More than this COVID, we have to overcome the spirit of fear. I'll say it until the president hears it, and I say it respectfully, and we're not like one of the speakers that on Wednesday pointed his finger to the president and said, Mr. President, I'm telling you, no. We don't talk to our president like that, and I withdraw. I don't party with people that talk in a disrespectful tone to our president, but I will say this. Mr. President, please allow us to be the church. Allow us to help our people. Allow us to open the doors of our churches. Allow us to celebrate our risen Christ and Savior this Easter Friday morning. Can I have an amen? Come on. Go on Facebook and say, we want to serve God on Easter. Go and speak loud and say, we want to worship God on Easter. We want our churches open in Jesus' name. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we have to keep walking this walk of faith. No matter how bad things seem in the natural, we cannot be moved by what we see. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot be moved by what we hear. Jesus walks into the ruler's house and he sees a great crowd. The funeral arrangements are being made. It's all over. You walk into a meeting with your accountants and they say there's no hope for this business. Oh, I'm going to tell you there's hope. While you are alive, there's hope. And while the grave is empty, there is hope. You have a future and you have a hope because you have a Savior that is alive and a God that is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Come on, you serve a God that is alive. You serve a God that is a miracle worker. You serve a God that is not going to turn his back on you. So come on, church, be inspired this morning and believe good things are heading your way. That he's the God of the turnaround. That he's the God who makes a way where there seems to be no way in Jesus' name. So Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So our churches are opening. Amen. We're not going to stop knocking, 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 knocking. Our silence, as Evangelist Ralo Khulela said, has been misunderstood by this government. Our compliance has been seen as weakness. No more. Our churches will open. It's our constitutional right. We will serve our God, and we will keep on knocking as that widow did. We will keep on knocking at every door, on every door, until we have believers out of their lounges, out of the comfort of their beds, watching our programs, back in the house of God, worshiping God, bringing their friends to church, seeing our altars filled again. Come on, if that's not your dream, I don't know, but if it is, shout amen and give Jesus one more praise. Hallelujah. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Mark 10:27, the Bible says, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God, for with God all things are possible. So, medically, it was impossible for this little girl to come back to life. But back to life she came. You know, we need to study Jesus, not study doctrine. He's the Ancient of Days, but he's not dead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the fourth person in the fiery furnace. He was the one that shut the mouth of the lion in the lions in Daniel's den. He was the one who parted the Red Sea. He's the Ancient of Days, but he's not historical. He's still alive. I said he's alive, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a personal God that will never turn his back on you. It says, no matter where you are facing, no matter how bad your situation, I'm for you, I'm with you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to deliver you. But do not fear, only believe. Jairus, do not fear. I know you lost your business. I know you've got through tragedy. Your husband just committed suicide. I weep with you, but it's not the end. You still have a future. You still have a hope. And God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You have a future. You have a hope because you have a Savior this morning that is alive. If you believe it, you need to praise God. Some of you have to get out of your grave of depression, out of your grave of uncertainty, out of your grave of unbelief. You have to get up and you have to get those bandages unwrapped off of you. And you need to become a praiser of God again and turn your worry into worship. He's alive. My Jesus, He's alive. He's alive. He is risen and He's a miracle worker. There is nothing He cannot do if you believe it this morning. Shout amen and give Him a 10-second praise as if you believe He's the resurrection and He is the life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we have to hold on to our faith. Not always that easy when you face things in the natural. But this was very natural. The little girl is dead. People are making funeral arrangements. Done deal. Jesus said, don't be moved by what you see. Fear not. Only believe. You know, if he never believed, he would have neutralized the power of Jesus. Because in Mark chapter 6, the Bible teaches us very clearly that Jesus could do no miracles in his hometown because of people's unbelief. You know, when we become so intellectual that we no longer can believe in His power to get us out of our situation, to revive our businesses, to bring life to dead emotions, we're in trouble. While people are waiting for governments and for scientists, I believe that the answer is spelled J-E-S-U-S. And if the church will worship Him and give Him His rightful place, this scourge, this pandemic will subside. Can I have an amen? Oh, come on. Shout hallelujah. Praise God for a breakthrough this morning, whatever you may be facing. So with all the turmoil in our world, we're not going to become cynical. We're not going to become hopeless. We're not going to become stagnant. We're not going to lose our vision. We're not going to lose our forward-mindedness. We are becoming more determined. Our crusades will be bigger. After this lockdown, we will fill stadiums all over South Africa and Africa. We will plunder hell and we will populate heaven. We will build greater churches than ever. We will build greater businesses than ever. We will build greater schools than ever. What this devil meant for evil, God will turn around for the good of His glory. And as the waters cover the earth, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And first this gospel will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come in Jesus' name. No scientists. No ego-driven politician, power-hungry, dictatorial overreach that can stop a move of God. And I say this respectfully. Many of you are politicians. Many of you are high. Spoke this week to two political leaders. I said, there's not one of you that say anything about the church. Why? None of you. Because you all say the church do not contribute to the economy. Well, I thought the church is not a building, the church or our people. So are you telling me that the millions and millions of Christians are not contributing to the economy in South Africa and they don't have any right to worship? What are you saying to us, that the church does not matter? Truth of the matter is, when you take spirituality out of society, you have disaster follow. Japan, it's actually funny, sad. Japan, a first world country, just had to appoint a minister portfolio of loneliness. Think about it. 2008, 170 people committed suicide in Japan in the month of October. 1,700 of those were women. The whole pandemic in Japan killed 1,400 people. Suicide. Now they have to appoint a minister. Our government does the same. Gender-based violence. Let's start a portfolio that never goes beyond the rooms that they have their meetings in. But Jesus gave the church. Jesus built the church to deal with the issues of humanity. That's why we fight for the church to be open, so we can deal with the loneliness. We can deal with the gender-based violence. We can deal with the addictions. We can bring healing to our society and in our world. So please. I think our tone would be one that Tutu took, Bishop Tutu, that if this government does not change its agenda towards the church, it may be their end very soon, sooner than later. Because this apartheid was dismantled by religious leaders, not by government officials. Thank you for your silence, because some of you Christians in government have become so quiet, you've become confused. You forgot that your position is to be an Esther to the king, a Daniel to the king, a Joseph, not a rollover, not a rubber stamp, somebody that stands for justice, somebody that stands for Christianity, somebody that stands for the kingdom of God. Come on, can I have an amen from somebody that is a Christian in politics that you will stand up and speak up for the cause of Christ in Jesus' name? I know some of you feel, Pastor, we don't want to hear this every Sunday. Well, you're going to hear it until the churches are open. Thank you. I'll change my tone then. In the meanwhile, I'll encourage you, but I'm not going to stop this campaign, because you're not better outside of the church. You, your family, your children need to get back to church. Your little ones have to be in Sunday school. For a year, our children's church buildings have been empty. Our kids are taken away from the presence of God. We are commanded to worship God with our children, to bring them into the presence of God. We will not tolerate this any longer. So we're not afraid. Our cause is just. Romans 13 says, be afraid if you do evil. Well, fighting for humanity is not evil. Opening our church's responsibility is not evil. So stop misquoting Romans 13, please. And pray for our meeting with our president. We don't want civil disobedience on a scale that none of you have ever seen. We have to suppress this behind the scenes all the time, with thousands and thousands of pastors in townships that want to revolt. Fact. So those advisors that advise the president better advise him correctly. And stop playing their own little games. Okay. Are you still glad you came? You think you're better off without the church? It shows you how backslidden you've become. So with all this turmoil in this world, with this battle we face together, and then with our personal battles, we better be sure where we stand on the Word, filled with the Holy Ghost, established in the love of God, not become uncertain and doubt God's will toward us. I mean, God, Jesus never had a conversation with Jairus, and he said to him, well, now, Jairus, let's just have a conversation on the way to your little girl that maybe God's teaching you a lesson through this. Did he? No. He didn't have the conversation with, well, maybe it's a generational curse. We first have to deal with a curse. Did he? No. When Jairus came, Jesus responded. You can't show me a person in the Bible that comes in need to Jesus Christ that he turns away. Not a person. A religion taught us, and I refute this and have throughout this pandemic, that God caused us to get his church back and to get control of his church. What a load of baloney. If Jesus ascended into heaven and he gave the authority of his church into the hands of his apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, he won't give you the authority and take it out of you. It just sounds religiously good, but it's foolish. Because that would mean God and Satan is in partnership. Oh, we learn things, but God's not the cause of evil. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables or shadow of turning. Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord God, I change not. God has no evil, and God is not in partnership with the devil. As a matter of fact, the heart of God is crying over the nations of the world. The loneliness, the heartache, the despair, the brokenness, the addictions that people are struggling with, God's heart is crying out to those people. That's why Jesus came, to heal these people. That's why we need our churches open, to help our people. And to do this and to face whatever battle you have to face, you cannot allow the spirit of fear to intimidate you. Because on the other side of your victory, there will always be a giant, a Goliath, that seeks to enslave you. A Goliath that seeks to intimidate you. A voice, a person, a situation, a committee that tries to steal your dream, that tries to rob you of your faith, that tries to steal your confidence. When Goliath came and showed up on the battleground, he came with this defiant attitude. You know, this COVID is defiant. You know, sometimes the people that manage this COVID is like defiant. Shut up. Sit down. Enslave. I mean, we've studied. Over 40 countries have reopened their churches, most of them not Christian countries, because the court every time has found in favor of Christian leaders. America, some places, 100%. I never thought the day would come that as a South African, I would have to fight for religious freedom. Never in my wildest dreams that I think the day would come that this country that was liberated by the church would one day have to stand up and contend with the government to give the church their freedom to worship God. Are you listening to me? Are you absolutely listening to what I'm saying to you? Don't think everything is as it is. That's why I said we better pray and we better position ourselves and we better be unafraid, because a fearful world needs a fearless church where people are radical and where people say enough is enough. We are not rolling over no more. We will worship our God. We ought to obey God rather than man. We are not bowing to the powers and principalities of the day, in Jesus' name. Say enough or amen. So what stops us from acting? It's a spirit of fear. That's why God calls, speaks to him. He says, fear not, only believe. You lose your job, fear wants to come. You look at your finances, you lose a big client, fear wants to come. God says, no, we walk by faith, we do not walk by sight. You don't allow fear entry into your life, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The Passion Translation says, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but he has given you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We are not these weak little rollover individuals. We hail from God. We are born from above. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We are unstoppable, undefeatable in the name of Jesus. Shout amen in Jesus' name. But cannot allow fear to take any place in your life. Can never operate by the spirit of fear. We have to operate by the spirit of faith. Only thing Jesus ever rebuked in the New Testament was the spirit of fear and unbelief. The minute fear enters, it brings the two terrible twins of doubt and unbelief. When you have faith in God, your conversation is different. Your walk is different. Your expectation is different. Now just please, just for a moment. Because I think sometimes we read the Bible like a fairy tale, and this is real life stories. I mean, Jairus' little girl's about to die. there's nothing that causes you to panic as quickly as when one of your children are very sick. You know, it's bad enough if your spouse is sick, but your child is another story. You've prayed, you've done everything, you run to the hospital, and you get a bad report. You know what it does to you. That's when you need the four friends to come carry your faith, right? Because your emotions are involved. Imagine the torment and the battle that Jairus had. Firstly, I mean, Jesus, amazing. It's an urgent moment. His child's about to die. There comes this other woman and interrupts Jairus' need, the woman with the issue of blood, and Jesus has this conversation with her, and Jairus is standing there, hey, my little girl is about to die. My little girl is about to die. And Jesus first has this conversation with a lady, and then while he's still talking to this lady about her faith, people say it's too late. What could Jairus have thought? Jesus, you insulted me. Jesus, if you moved quickly. Same thing that Mary did when Jesus came, and she actually didn't want to go meet him after her brother was dead. And when she spoke to him eventually, she said, if he were here earlier, he would not have died. You know, sometimes we feel like that. It's like, God, you forsook me. God, you failed me. Hey, God promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God said, I will never fail you. My timing is not your timing. All things will work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. It may seem over, but it's not over. In the name of Jesus Christ, while Jesus is alive, it is not over. Come on, Christian, it is not over. Your battle is not over. Your situation is not over. Your child will live again. Your dream will live again. Your future will be secure. Restoration will be in your life, but you've got to let the fear go, and you've got to believe. So imagine, please, 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 we all have thoughts, minds, right? We don't get saved, and suddenly we become numb in our brains, as politicians think we do. We actually still think. We Google. We know there's other medication that deals with the virus. We don't just believe everything that's stuffed down our throats. Hello? I mean, it's like they look at the church as if the very people say that church is not a building thing. The church is a building. Because we have our scientists in our church, our doctors in our church, our lawyers in our church, our professionals in our church, our chemists in our church, our architects in the church. They are the church, and they also have brains. They also look at this and they say, well, we don't believe this. We are divided. Like America, scientists divided. State of Texas, no wearing of masks. State of California lost their core lawsuit to lock churches down. So don't tell me the whole world is under the clutches of Satan any longer. There's a deliverance happening. There's a shaking happening. And this deliverance is heading South Africa's way. And the church in South Africa will be stronger than ever. And that means you are going to be more blessed than ever. You are going to shine brighter. God is going to open doors that have been closed. God's going to restore and revive things in your life. Oh, shout amen. And believe it today in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and He is the life. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our yesterday, our today, and our tomorrow. He is our Lord and our Savior. And there is His arm is not too short to deliver us. Hallelujah. He's given us the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We are not alone. We have a helper. We have a comforter. We have a strengthener. We have the greater one that lives on the inside of us. We are not these weak, mealy-mouthed, spineless little things that people call Christians. On the contrary, we are unlike most people out there in the world. We are not biological miracles. People that walk around without spines. We are very alive and we have spines that are still straight, and we are anchored and secure in the ways of God, and we serve our God unapologetically, realizing we will stand before our Lord Jesus Christ one day and we will give account. So He will have the final say, as He did with this little girl. So imagine. A woman interrupts the conversation, and you know women need to talk a lot. Amen. It's not like Jesus just says one thing to her. There's a whole conversation, and yes, Jairus. I love you people. You are the greatest people in the world. Beautiful. He's just imagine moving on toward the hope. Jesus doesn't try and pacify him, doesn't cry with him. He just says, fear not, believe. Wow. You talk about dealing with emotions? Fear not, only believe. Not fear a little bit, it's okay, I understand. And then we get to faith. He says, fear not, only believe. And he permits nobody to go with him. This is Jesus, smart. He doesn't sit with a board that's filled with unbelief. He does not try to change things in South Africa with people that are backslidden and people that are in unbelief. He doesn't build a business with people filled with unbelief. He leaves the unbelief behind, and he takes Peter, James, and John, the three that climbed with him on the mountain where he met Jesus and Moses, and they built the tabernacles. Remember the story? Those who had the highest level of faith. Because if you fight your greatest battle, you need those with the highest level of faith with you on the battleground. You don't need bloodsuckers. You need people with a spirit of faith. Then he gets to the home, and obviously the wife is at the home, and she's weeping, and he puts everybody out. Not very polite, is it? Puts the family out, puts everybody out. He says, get out! And he takes the father and mother. Why? Because they had the spiritual authority. Because the kingdom of God is operated on the principle of authority. Jesus could not operate without their consent. Listen, listen, listen. He cannot operate in your church without your consent, without your agreement. He cannot operate in your business without your consent, your agreement. He cannot operate in your marriage without your consent and your agreement. And the agreement he wants from you is your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How can two walk together unless they agree? He needs your agreement to raise your little girl. Because you have the authority. And he says, Talita Kumi, because faith was present. God needs your faith. God needs your cooperation. We've all cried. We've all shed tears. Some of us even got angry. Yeah, you and me. But it doesn't help. Some of us have felt like, geez, let's just make a whip and beat everybody. Not all the good people. I'm talking just beat this regulation. But we use our faith. And then if we have to march, we will march. I'm just saying it. If we have to march, we're going to march. Because our cause is just. I want to say to you this morning that God loves you so much. You're valuable, you're precious. Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago. And as this little girl was dead and these parents suffered, maybe you're sitting on the other side of this camera and you've suffered. Maybe you're this morning. All you need to do is give your life to him. That's it. That's what Jairus did. He said, Lord, come. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. Take control. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I surrender all in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give them a big hand clap. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's just praise God a little bit in this place. Come on, he is the resurrection and he is the life. And I'm telling you, listen, to every advocate, to every politician, listen, listen, listen. We are going to open our doors on Easter Friday. We are going to worship our God. We are going to praise our God. We are going to glorify our God. There is no devil in hell that is going to stop us from worshiping our Christ and our Savior. And we will do it righteously. We will do it scientifically correct. We will have our people saved. But there is no way in a world that I'm sitting in a building by myself on an Easter Friday morning and I'm not worshiping the risen Christ. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who washed me in his blood, and he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, where you are this morning, in front of your home, still wherever you are, just lift your hands and say, you are worthy. Come on, just love on him this morning. Give him the praise. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. He's worthy. Come on, Christian. He's worthy. Worthy throughout eternity. They rest not day and night, but they cry, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that shed his blood for you and for me. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. He's the risen Christ. He's worthy. Let your heart reach out to him this morning. Let your hands reach out to him this morning. You may be in a prison this morning, but you choose to worship him. He's the resurrection. He's the life. And as you lift him up, he's going to lift you up. He's going to bring you out of the miry clay. He's going to set your feet on a rock. He's going to shut the mouth of the lion. He will cancel every weapon that is formed against you. He's going to stand on the battleground, and he will not forsake you. And your little girl is going to come alive. Your little girl is going to come alive. Your little girl is going to come alive. Believe it this morning. Cast your cares upon him. Roll your burdens upon him. Put your weights and your cares upon him. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. He is your Messiah. He is your friend. He is your King. And he deserves the best praise and the best worship and the best adoration that you can give him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.